Welcome to episode 3 of Faith in Me. Assalamu alaikum, this is your host Haifa. Have you ever wondered what will happen to your non-Muslim friends after they die? Are they like doomed to hell without a doubt? Will Allah overlook all the good they did and cast them in fire because they weren't Muslims? Isn't that unfair? Well, if these questions have been haunting you just like me, let's find some answers. And we all have at least some non-Muslim friends from school, work, or our neighborhood. They could be Hindus, Christians, Sikh, Jew, or Baha'i. If they are proper followers, then you're probably familiar with their symbols, festivals, and prayer times, right? Like when not to give them a call, for instance. Some of my friends said they followed all religions. So in their homes, they had a corner or a room with Hindu gods, Jesus, Kaaba, and other symbols all next to each other. I used to think they're so shallow because you obviously can't. But if we look deeper, we can get an interesting insight. To understand it, we have to look beyond the stickers, Muslim, Christian, Jew, Hindu, maybe in terms of geography. Think of Earth, long, long, long time back. Wait, a dinosaur? Oh, not that far. Fast forward a little bit. Okay, pause. So Earth, around 5,000 years ago. Population, a fraction of what it is today. Starting off with Adam, the first human, his family, their extended family. They all spoke the same language, who knows what. And then generation after generation, the globe starts to get populated. Small crowds, communities, wandering nomads living in different areas of the world map. Over time, dialects evolve into languages which their cousins across the sea can't even understand now. Civilizations happen on some riverbanks, while some are still living as jungle tribes or desert nomads. Oh, the divide, it's always been there, isn't it? Throughout this hyperlapse, one guy in his parole and his team is desperately working to create trouble among people. Shaitan. His name literally means the one pelted with rocks, distanced far away. Now, he was doomed to hell because of his own big head. But just like how you're mad at your siblings for mom yelling at you because of them, he decided that he ain't going to hell alone. He's going to take as many of Adam's kids with him as he can. So this is actively happening in the background, and Allah the Most Merciful has promised to always send guidance and to never stop forgiving. So prophets are sent as needed, back to back to some people, spaced out to others. Some prophets were even contemporary. They were sent to two different communities living at the same time, sometimes unknown to each other. Now these prophets reminded them about their creator. Listen people, we're all created by this one God. He has been providing you with all this and you are all going back to him. And you don't want to go back to him in this condition. You guys have messed up big time. Let me fix this and get your act together. Simple message. In the short life of yours, you got to worship your creator. And this is how. Now, a successful prophet leaves behind a generation of upright people. Following the correct message, sometimes he leaves them with a holy book, memorized verses, tablets, whatever. Shaitan gets back to work almost instantly, but gradually, diluting the message, changing verses, changing its meaning. Come on, I'm sure God wouldn't mind a little bit of this and that there. Introducing new rituals to make it more fun, of course, and whatever he can to play with people's base desires. Just like how he played with Adam, our father. Few generations down, the message or deen is unrecognizable. Just a shell. The basic principle of one God, purpose of life, day of judgment is forgotten. The books that remain are a mixture of the original with additions and subtractions and interpretations made by generations of selfish people who wanted to match the rules with what they liked. This is something that's still happening today with Islam. They can't change an ayah, so they change the meaning. Hijab, salah, riba, let's not even get started there. So the point is, What remains today in the name of other religions are mostly, and I say mostly because there are plenty others who worship sun, stars, elements of nature, or the devil itself. Can you believe it? So mostly, the religions you see today are the message of the prophets sent to different ancient communities. Unfortunately, but naturally, the original message has eroded. In this context, it's safe to say that yes, all religions are the same, after all. Now, the one who created isn't playing catch when it comes to guiding us. Now, a person is obviously going to follow the religion he or she is born into. So if only Muslims are going to heaven, how can it be fair on the others? It wasn't their fault that they weren't born into a Muslim family. Well, there are many sides to this. First of all, being a Muslim doesn't guarantee you paradise. Period. Allah clearly says you have to believe and do good. Constantly struggle to purify yourselves spiritually till the end. And regardless, we'll be accounted for our actions and how efficiently and effectively we spend the resources He gave us. Basically, there's no free pass. That was never how it worked. On the other hand, our Creator has put reasoning inside every one of our heads. There is a moral and spiritual compass that is always pointing north. As for our hearts, He has put a light from His light, a pure light that is constantly searching for the truth. So, the moment you come in contact with the truth about our Creator, these three pointers will jump to it. The compass in our head, our logical reasoning, and the restless light. That means you just can't miss it when you see it. But what if they never come in contact with the truth? There are two ways to be exposed to the truth. One is through the textual verses of the Holy Book, and the other is to simply look around. Nature, it's the manifestation of these verses. Look at yourself. You get a cut on your finger, and it starts healing itself for free. You definitely didn't set that up in your system. Then who did? If you woke up with a gift box at your doorstep every day, you won't be able to rest until you find out who sent it. You want to find him, thank him, even ask why he sent it and maybe return a favor. We're smothered with blessings we cannot count lovingly gifted by a Creator. And this is a journey every one of us has to make with sincerity and longing to find him and thank him. So, the first spark could be something obvious, like someone might knock at your door, or inbox or newsfeed for that matter, with an invitation to the truth. Or it could be that you have doubts and you get glitches, static, and gaping gaps when thinking deeply about your current beliefs. Or more subtle cues like someone's kindness, or the sunrise, or the sunset, the beautiful colors of the fruits and how they are packaged. I mean the peel, not the plastic. Or death. Or a miracle. There's this friend of mine who is going through a rough patch in life. Confused, depressed. She was Christian. She had lost a loved one. And at that point in her mid-20s, we were getting hit hard by life and people. The same confusion and loneliness. Even though we were from different religions, we had the most natural conversation that night about God. I remember telling her, girl, we have no idea why we are such a misfit in this world. We simply don't know how to fix us. We're defective pieces. So let's ask this whoever it is who manufactured us to fix us. We somehow have to connect to him. And at that point, I even told her to wake up in the middle of the night and cry your heart out to him. Put your forehead on the floor if you can and cry. She thought that was powerful. You know, when we're broken and desperate, that's how easy it is for us human beings to talk about God. You think Allah will turn away from her? From someone who's battered by life and is crying out to her Creator? Never! He is Al-Wali, the loving, protecting friend who stands by your side, even when the whole world turns against you. So there will be sparks in everyone's life. Moments when their compass, reasoning, and light align serenely, and they experience a special kind of calm. Whether to pursue the spark or spare the trouble and go on with their daily life is their own choice. Another beautiful door Allah had left open is that in between all the corruption and manipulation in the holy books, pieces of the original words of God have been preserved. And God will open a truth seeker's heart to it. Would you believe it? You can find verses so similar to Surah Al-Ikhlas in some of the ancient Hindu scriptures. Let me quote some verses from the Upanishads. You guys can look it up yourselves later. God is one and only, not a second. Of Him, there is no parents, no Lord. There is no likeness of Him. His form cannot be seen. No one can see Him with the eyes. There's a prayer in Yajurveda, which will simply hit home. Lead us to the good path and remove the sin that makes us stray and wander. Of course, this is amidst other verses having nothing to do with monotheism. So, no matter what religion you're born into, all you need to do is to study and dig deeper into it. That could be the starting point to your spiritual journey. It's our keenness to find our Creator and the efforts we make to do so that'll lead us. For the same reason, you'll see namesake Muslims are those who leave the faith. So simply being born into a religion does not put you in any significant advantage or disadvantage. We're all in this as humans to seek out our Creator. So no, God is not unfair at all. Now, what if they never find the truth and die? The answer is we do not know. What we do know is that our Creator is never unjust. Even in the case of Muslims, within Muslim communities, do not think that someone's going to hell because he belongs to a certain group or sect. We can't judge anyone's fate. Imagine if one of the requirements to enter Jannah was to correctly judge if someone else is going to heaven or hell. Imagine the pressure, the margin of error, and the fact that we can't even mind read. Phew! We've been spared the trouble, guys, so don't volunteer. But we've been clearly warned to judge ourselves before Allah judges us. So, shift the focus. As for good people who never came in contact with the accurate picture of Islam in their lifetime, Allah will judge them with His justice and mercy based on that person's struggle to find God. At what point he was in his journey to finding his Creator, what knowledge he got, and how he acted upon it, his sincerity, his heart, of which we have no idea. It's said that because each person will be judged with absolute and exact justice, there are as many different levels of heaven and hell as there are people. I'm like, wow. As for us Muslims, we're aiming for Jannat al-Firdaus, the highest heaven. Let's not stop getting better, keener, and being thankful that we've been blessed with Islam. Half the journey is done. Now the remaining half is totally on us. Strive to live up to it to the end and not even once be smug about our actions. Instead, feel safe only and only in Allah's mercy. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise be to the Lord of the Universe. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil Ameen. That brings us to the end of this episode. Remember, I'm not a scholar and this is not a lecture. This is just a sister-sister discussion. You can call it nasiha. Yeah. Jazakallahu khairan for listening. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.